Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Solution, hi, how are you?
I'm all right, how are you?
Oh, yeah, you know the old, you get punished after you've been on a holiday, you know, reacclimatization disease. That's what I've got at the moment, so that hasn't been super fun.
You don't sound good.
So apologies in advance if I forget to mute while I have a coughing attack or blow my nose and you hear all the disgusting sound effects. Apologies, because Solution doesn't edit. So if those things slip in, listeners, I'm just apologizing in advance.
They would have heard a lot worse on this podcast. So Fiona's forecast round 21. Episode 20, I think.
God.
Because round 21, because we had the bye. But
yep.
Straight into the temperature changes. And we have in Sardis. Is that how you say it?
Sardis, yeah.
Is that how the Greeks would say it? Sardis?
No, it's a bit more of an Italian pronunciation rather than a Greek. I don't know. Yeah. We have to ask a Greek. If there's a Greek, if there's any Greek listeners, I'd love to. Can't we type it into the internet? Can't you get like English to Greek voice translation? I thought, somebody smart, Zuckerberg, Elon, create it.
I'm sure we can. But either way, very, very excited to see him come in.
Yeah.
Out, some interesting omissions.
Really?
So, Alan Davey omitted, Will Snelling omitted. And Mason Redmond plays his 100th game, by the way. Just the shout out to Mason there.
Mm-hmm.
I should say the emergencies are Sam Wiedemann, Will Snelling, Kane Baldwin, and Alan Davey. And I think we both agree that one of the subs will come from the bench.
So obviously we worked out well. You were right, you know, in terms of what you were saying last week. I was clearly too many Dakaris down. Yes, I mean, you'd think Davey would be, if you're just going on Brad's previous selections. I don't think we'll be stretched for height too much by the Eagles. Down forward, they'll have their two big boys there, Oscar Allen and Darling, which will be taken by Laverty and BZT. So I flew in and just made it home last week for the last quarter. And then I've since rewatched the first quarter. And I thought Cox did quite well. I thought he did really, really well against McDonald. So I'm happy to back him in again on one of West Coast medium forwards.
That's interesting to hear because Correspondent was of that view last week. I was a bit ambivalent.
Okay.
But I didn't watch the replay. Mm. I thought Davey is unlucky. I know he didn't get much of the ball, but just his effort in chasing.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly, you always remember when you're at the ground, these big Waller chases or Alan Davey chases.
Yeah.
Alan Davey Jr. was doing some of that. So I think he's unlucky.
He's had actually a bad few weeks, and this worries me about him because when the team is good, he's good. So he's a real front runner, but when the team is very poor, he's very poor.
Why is he like?
It's a bad quality. Zach Merritt used to have it. He's since flicked the switch, and you know what it comes down to? Work rate. An effort, and the Prince of Perth is not putting in the effort when we are under the ropes. He's dropping his head and he's just going with the flow, and so you can't be doing that when he's a semi experienced, you know, in comparison to what we've got down there.
Yeah, I agree. So why the hell is he still in the team? Who did he sleep with? Who has he felched? Who has he got pictures of? What is happening?
Well, I'd like, yeah, I mean, it's not a very, I've noticed it and I've been keeping an eye on his performances when we win and when we lose, and that's the result, that's what I've resulted in. So you'd want to hope that his next four performances, if he stays in the team, the next 4 weeks are really good, because otherwise, how do you mount a case for him being in the best 22 in 2024? Would he be getting a position in any other team starting 22 right now? The answer is no. So if the answer is no, for a small forward position, you may as well just put keep Davey in the team.
And that's like part of my point of view on why Davey should be there is just from the effort count. Yeah. So I'm sure their outputs last week were probably similar. They probably weren't great. Neither of them were great.
Possession-wise, they probably had just as little, but it's not about that.
Yeah, exactly. But from from an effort perspective, I mean, Davey was trying, and I don't think Guelphy is.
Yeah, that's it doesn't really stand by Brad's ethos, does it? The non-negotiables that he spoke about, the non-negotiables that were there at the start of the year, they're just not, it's not really ringing true with Guelphy, so.
No.
But I must say, I did read, some people were responding to me when I said, like, what's happening so far in the game, because I didn't watch it, obviously, live, and a few people were saying that Davey wasn't great. So were you on your own? Like, did you feel, yeah, I don't know.
No, I felt that, A, his pressure acts were pretty good. His effort was great. So, yeah, there was a bit of a third pressure there where he made some chases, you know, repeat chases 2-3 times that was good to see. But also he did some positive things. He set up some goals.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's progressive. He moves the ball forward.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes players on, so yeah. I mean, we're obviously not privy to what's happening behind the scenes, and who knows, Guelphy might be the best trainer.
But even Davey was subbed when Guelphy was doing much less. Even in the quarter that in the quarter that I watched, in the first quarter, like, it was a bizarre subbing. Given that information, so
maybe the only thing I can think of is that he was blowing.
Fitness,
and then,
yeah.
Yeah, and then Brad Scott has said, well, look, you're not fit yet to play four quarters, so I'm not going to pick you. And maybe he'll be the sub potentially.
And that makes a lot of sense, right? We can't overload him before he's, you know. I think, dare say, next season, that won't be a fair excuse. After he's had a whole year in the system, it won't be an excuse that you're not fit enough to get through a game. It'll be expected that he can get through a game.
No, I agree.
So where do you think, how much midfield time do you reckon Elijah's going to play? Do you reckon he's going to get a good crack in there? Or
I think so.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't? Where do you think he'll be?
Oh, they'll play him half forward, half back, bit of wing, I reckon. It's too many. How are they going to rotate them all through there? He'll get a few. He'll get a few set of clearances, but I don't reckon he'll get many.
Yeah, okay. No, I reckon... I thought he might be thrown into the fire.
Yeah, he will, but I don't think they'll keep him there for long.
You're probably right.
Sub him, to be honest. They might sub him, you know, towards the end of the game.
Can I ask you a question? Is it overly cynical of me to think, like, it's West Coast, we're barely going to have... Like if the marketing team could choose when he would debut, they would pick this game because there's nothing else. It's a dead game otherwise, other than, you know, we'll probably win, which will be nice given recent performances. There's a tiny little cynical part of me that thinks, God, it doesn't suit the club to give him his debut this week. And all the social media and stuff that's happened since he was named?
I don't understand the question. Are you saying that it's good that they've it's shifty, it's a bit shifty that they've made him debut on this game? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is there's a part of me that thinks Etchen have decided, given we basically can't make finals, and they know we can't make finals.
No, mathematically we still can.
Mathematically we can, but we won't.
Like, okay, but don't say we can't, because we can mathematically.
I think they've taken the bet that we won't.
Oh, internally, you think?
It's a nice, how else can we drum up some interest for this game? Let's give it the view.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're saying they're throwing us a bone, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, because we all are. Nah. Everyone's happy with it.
Nah, I don't think so. I think if you start seeing Voss get a game, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mankara, maybe.
They won't bring. He's not ready. But if Montgomery, if those kind of guys start coming in, maybe you think. But until we lose that GWS game, everybody will be all in on finals. Okay. Because we can mathematically still make it. I was thinking earlier, GWS is having we were GWS at the start of the year. We'd won five. How many we won in a row for the first time in, I don't know, whatever that stat was. We were exceeding expectations. Our coach was up in the top five coaches of the year. It's turned. GWS were the disappointing ones. They were floundering down the bottom of the ladder. Mm. It's turned. They've taken our spot. Now they're on a run of wins. Their coach is number two for coach of the year so far. So we've literally swapped places. We have swapped places. They're having our year.
I tell you what, if Sammy Draper's playing the last month, 6 weeks, however long he's been out, we've won at least two more games.
That's a big call. That's a really big call. I'm not prepared to say that. You don't think
we win last week?
Nah.
Yeah, I think
maybe if we have Stringer and Draper, I'd say. Maybe if we have Scheel and Draper. Maybe if we have Setterfield and Draper. But I think his puzzle piece alone, I'm not going to put my name, my signature to that call, like you.
Yeah, I'm signing it. I'm co-signing it.
Alone? Because I think that's too big. Yeah. I mean, we just needed an extra fucking minute, didn't we? And we win that game last week.
Yeah, it was hard to call.
That's another one. That's two we've had.
Exactly. Hopefully this team learns and next year they're winning those games.
All I'm saying is that Collingwood had these games the year before last. And then last year they turned it into win. They turned all those close losses into wins. So
true.
I'm choosing to believe that they laid the template and we're going to follow through. But a part of me was thinking the other day is, do you think, because our game plan has changed since the bye slightly. Mm. We've had more of a focus on attack rather than defence, and it's obviously shown. Do you think they're just trialling a few things?
Although maybe.
Because this year, because Brad keeps saying it's all about the future years. It's all about 2024, 2025. Could they be just testing a few mechanisms of the game plan and using this year as a let's see what works, let's see what picks up, what players we've got that can fit within this game plan? Because otherwise, I don't see another reason to change it so dramatically and then not go back.
Yeah. I believe, and I have no evidence to support this, but I think one of the best things that Votso did when he came in is he said to Brad Scott, I guarantee you, your contract, you will not be sacked this year. There's nothing you can do that will see you under pressure. You have a complete mandate to build for the future. We actually don't care what happens this year, and we will fully support you in whatever you need to do to set us up for long-term success. We don't want to finish eighth and overachieve. We want to build something. And so, yeah, I would say that's been a guiding principle of a lot of Brad Scott's decisions, including some of the strange selection table decisions that we've sort of scratched our heads over as well. So you may very well be right. He may have said, look, I've got no Stringer, I've got no Draper, I've got no Scheel, got no Setterfield. We are short in defence. We've got hopefully some targets at the trade table we're going to go hard at and bring in the right age profile. You know, a guy in his early 20s on the up, key defender, maybe comes, plays for North. But we'll see. But if only the listeners could see your facial expressions. They don't work well on a podcast.
But I know. I'm sorry, people.
I do think that's kind of a guiding principle that Brad Scott is sailing his ship by.
Yeah.
Just to mix metaphors.
I was thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks, ever since this turn has happened, it's felt like it since the bye. And I thought, I wonder, and because he's, you know, he's preaching, and people seem to be getting sick of this preaching towards the future. But I'm not sick of it at all.
No,
I believe him. For the first fucking time, I actually believe where he's he's the first coach that makes sense. He's the first coach that I can see what you mean. I can see next year how that player will be better in that position because he's been drilled into it this year. He's made mistakes this year. He knows that he won't run there next year because he fucked it up 15 times this year. I can see the pieces. I can see the future of it. So if anybody is of that opinion and is getting frustrated by that, don't. And don't listen to Matthew Lloyd. He just likes to whinge about Essendon because he's triggered by it. So just don't listen to him when he says it, okay? And if I hate to say it, but the others were on that panel were right. They were saying that he stayed consistent with his message. He never swayed from it. So
I honestly, just on that, sorry to interrupt.
No, go.
I was going to say, just on Lloyd, I honestly believe, like, you'd never guess it given how dour that TV show is, Footy Classified. Haven't watched it for years. Hate it. I just hate the tone of it. I hate most of the panelists. I still love Lloydie. But it's theatre, right? I've got no doubt they determine who's going to say what pre.
Lloyd. Possibly, but it's Lloyd. It's Lloyd. He does it across the board. Every channel he's on. He does it in private as well. When he's at, I've spoken to people who sat on tables at functions with him, next to him, and he says the same thing. He barely, you can see, like, he's triggered by the club. The heart there is broken a little bit. He'll always have that commitment and connection. Like, I'm sure he'd love to see his son play for the club. However, he's triggered by it, because there's some sourness with how he left. So therefore, he really struggles to trust in the club and really struggles to applaud the club. And but just on this, he's really wrong on this. It is about the future. It is about getting games into Caldwell, playing with Hobbs, playing with Merritt, playing with Parrish, and getting another 20 games into them. It is about trialing and error, trialing. Because you know what the one of the strangest selections head scratches has been for me these past few weeks. For 12 weeks without Peter Wright, we were all saying, it's just Wiedemann, hang in there. It's just you down there, mate. Wait until 2 metres back. You'll both be. Now we're choosing to just leave one tall forward by himself down there. For the first 12 weeks of the season, we couldn't wait to get a second one back in there with him. And now we're choosing to leave one down there without Stringer as well. So it's essentially just Langford and arresting Ruck and 2 metre Peter. So this just seems like Brad is trialing an error with an eye still on winning, but he's trialing a few things so then he can throw them all on the table at the end of the season, say, right, this worked from this, that worked from this, I'll take a piece from that, a piece from this. I just get a bit of that feel, that's all.
I agree with you, and I think another aspect of it too is there's two aspects to list building. You've got to bring the right players in. You've also got to get rid of players off your list that don't fit the long term plan. And it's a finite list. And he needs it. Maybe he's just seeing what some players can do where, because he's got question marks on, are they going to be gone?
Well, I like to think he's doing that, and that's the reason he's doing it with Snelling and Guelphy, because when you've got Sardis coming in, you'd like to think, touch wood, he stays fit. Well, he's in the starting 22 next year. There's nobody else in this team aside from Guelphy who's got a question mark, Snelling a question mark, maybe Hind a question mark. The idea is to get, you know, Yasardis is starting next year. So maybe he's just finding out, and then maybe he's directing Dodoro to recruit someone to fill a Guelphy's position or a Snelling's position. So, you know, it's his first year with the list. You know, next year I think we can start having a bit more of a say.
I agree. So that ends the new segment, Take a Chill Pill by my fans.
Yeah, that actually could be a segment. There would be a lot of content for that segment off Twitter.
There are a few,
or whatever the fuck that bird thing is called now.
Yeah, X. Yeah, who the hell knows? All right. Going to the Smoking Joe and the Sitting Joe, I've definitely forgotten now who's...
I've got the Smoking this week, and I am going to give it to Sardis. I'm going to give it to the boy. I reckon he's gonna have a few little fumbly touches, but I reckon all in all, I think he'll glide over the ground, and we'll see that quick twinkle toe step, turn around, little twizzle thing that he does. And we'll see him kick it into the 50, and he'll find 2 meter Peter to lace out, I reckon. So go, son.
Like it.
Yep.
So do you think we're going to see the last 10 minutes of Peter Wright, or are you going to see Peter wrong?
I think, did you say that in the last quarter and the first quarter, he had 3 on him at one point, at multiple points.
No, but he did.
We're doing that purposely. We are leaving him down there purposely. I don't get it.
It's true. However, there's like, he's getting his hands to the ball and dropping marks. We saw that a lot.
Yeah, look,
and that's the problem.
I commented that what he's lost this year, that he was really good at last year. And it's all reflex work. So maybe he's just got to throw balls into the wall and let them come back and hit him in the face and, like, break his nose or something, because it's all reflex work. You know, when you go to take a mark, you don't quite – and then you fall to the ground. But he's looking directly straight, not up at where the ball's going. And he was really good at that last year, but he's lost it. But again, that's not skill. That's just your reflexes.
Yeah,
I'd be really good at it because my reflexes are bang on.
Are they?
Even when I'm drunk, my reflexes are like fire.
You should be. Were you good at sport?
Yeah, very good at netball. Won lots of best and fairest, and then hence why I've had a knee reco. Just very, very, very good. Scouted from National Australia Netball League.
Okay. Yeah, but netball. Netball is the worst sport for knees.
Well,
any sport.
Yes, of course. But do you know why women notoriously do more knees, have more knee reconstructions than men? It's because our hips are wider.
Okay.
So it puts more pressure on the joints, and then the knees cop it. But yes,
netball, you stop it. Like, you stop when you should be continuing to run. It's ridiculous.
No, it is not. It's great. It's a great sport to play.
I'm not saying it's a bad sport. I'm saying it's a bad sport for the knees.
Oh, yes, the jolting and the momentum shifting is very, very hectic on the knees. So, but anyway, we digress again.
All right, I've got
who are you giving,
Joe?
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to say.
Solution doesn't even know his players. Our players, by the way, every week when he chooses, he has to get the team list up. He doesn't even know the players on the top of his head.
Yeah, well, I know when we're going to win or lose. I've got another one right this week.
Are you happy with yourself about that?
No, but the only one I've got wrong, I reckon, the last few months is Richmond. But I digress. I'm going to go. So I'm trying to pick a guy who's been playing reasonably well, and I think won't have a great. No, because I'm trying to pick a guy who's been. You know, it's all about...
Doesn't have to be, though.
But this is about levels.
Yeah, but you can fall very, very... You can fall very below. Melvin keeps defying gravity.
True. I'm going to say Phillips.
Oh, because he was so good last week. Oh, my God.
Do you know what, though? He was good last week. He's... Now I'm repeating myself, but he's good in the hit-outs, and he competes in... All those dead ball situations, stoppages, he competes and tries his guts out. Where he's shocking is when the ball's in flight, he doesn't time his leap. He doesn't know how to get to the fall of the ball. He's just terrible at it. I don't know if he needs his eyesight checked.
In the last quarter, he took a couple of good contested marks.
Yeah,
and when he was on the ground, He stops a midfielder getting out of the stoppages.
But I saw a couple
of times. Who is this guy?
No. I agree. But that's why I'm picking him for the sitting Joe this week, because I think he's going to go. He's going to drop a level. That's my
also,
point.
Excuse me, for the people on Twitter trying to tell me, my God, I mean, I know we all have differing opinions and I know I think strongly of what I say, but fuck me. For anyone trying to tell me, and there were a few of them, not many, but a few, that Laverty is a better player than BZT, you really, with all due respect, please go and have your eyes checked.
Who was saying, how did this debate? No one's having this debate.
Yes, I was having this debate. Do you not follow me on Twitter? Did you unfollow me for some reason? I don't blame you. But I was saying that he's more that Laverty is BZT is much better than Laverty as a player. And people are trying to tell me that no way. Okay, so BZT granted played on Franklin for just a quarter or two quarters, whatever it was. But Laverty was on like a 5-gamer, a 10-gamer, however many games Amadi has played, and he got towed up. Even Cox did a better job on McDonald. So anyone who's trying to tell me that BZT is not a better, more important player to keep, I'm sorry, but you got rocks.
No, look, I would say Laverty's played some good games in the last couple of years since he's gone down back.
He has, but he's not as good a player as BZT of 2023.
And yeah, and BZT is an emerging player.
He's not to mention Laverty's hit his mark. BZT's ceiling is so high. He's been so incredibly good this year with the tools he's been given, and he's got so much improvement in him. Laverty is he would not be getting a game in any other team, in any of the top four teams. He wouldn't.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say To exactly the point I was going to make. BCT's ceiling is a lot higher. Laverty's older. He's like 28, isn't he, or 27?
20, yeah. But it's not the point. The point is they were trying to tell me that he's better than BCT.
Well, yeah, but it is kind of the point too, that BCT's a 24-year-old, which for key position players is young, and he's getting better and better each week. And
so the argument should be that Laverty is better. If you're basing it on age, then you say Laverty is better. Yeah. I'm saying
No, I'm saying BZT plays better now, but that's why he's ceiling. Even if you could argue Laverty in maybe recent weeks has played better and even last year played better. BZT is a rocket going up, whereas Laverty is, it's almost like he's waning already. He's got a lot of injuries.
I just wanted to get that on the record because I'm sorry, but people. Okay. Yeah, and then I was just validated watching that game, re-watching that Sydney game. Holy crap. I can't believe how he absolutely – Amadi towered Laverty up. That was unexpected. I did not see that coming. Anyway, moving on.
All right. Well, what's your prediction?
Oh, I think we'll win comfortably. I think it'll be another 50 points.
I'll tell you one –
uh-oh.
This could almost be a wild card here. Don't worry, I'm picking Essendon. But here's another conspiracy theory. West Coast have suddenly realised that if they get the number one pick, it might present some problems. Because Harley,
Reed.
Whatever his name is, Reed, has said, basically indicated, I do not want to go to Perth.
Well, that came out as false because lo and behold, you know who reported it? Sam McClure, because he's a blight on the industry. He really is. But it's come out. Multiple people have come out and said it's false.
True. However, history says players want to go back. But I reckon one of the best debut seasons, the best first dozen games I've ever seen ever, and a player, I think he got tagged in his like fifth game, was Chris Judd playing for West Coast. Unbelievable. When he had the afterburners, he lost those by the time he went to Carlton. But when he had that electric pace, unbelievable. History says it's hard to keep those guys. So this is my theory. My theory is West Coast strategically wouldn't mind finishing second last in the draft. Second last on the ladder, get the second pick in the draft, And then they don't have to worry about a guy agitating to come back after a year or two.
Yeah, I don't think that's true at all.
What's wrong with my conspiracy theories? You're giving them nothing.
Oh, sorry. I'm very sorry. Yeah. Do you want me to play along, do you? I can.
No,
I can.
Don't worry.
Just
don't worry.
Sorry. I fucked it already. Sorry. No, well, I've worked it out, and they only need one more win and or a draw and or a draw to finish second last, with North Melbourne continuing their losing streak. So long as North Melbourne continue their losing streak. Yeah.
Well, they're on even points.
They only need a win or a draw to, and obviously North Melbourne, to have some big losses as well.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's not true, because if they don't want it, they trade it away and get something better. So they still want it.
Yeah, like, but you lose. You could face a lot of flack by doing that.
No way, anyway, because you know what? Everyone knows Harley Reid is the carrot. So clubs are going to pay overs for the number one pick.
Well, we'll just give him the Prince of Perth.
Oh yeah, that'll seal the deal. and pick six or whatever. You reckon that would seal the deal?
He's the prince. He's the prince of the city. What more, like royalty? What more could you ask for?
That's true. He's got the keys.
Anyway, the point of my conspiracy was to say I think West Coast might have suddenly started trying. And, you know, whether... And we know the one... I mean, they're a new team. They don't really have grudge matches. But the Essendon and West Coast... Thanks to Kevin Sheedy, he deserves full credit for this. Thanks to the time he tied us down, the windsock, which was against West Coast, then the jacket wave. It is a game that traditionally, we're one of West Coast's few rivals, so they always fire up. Like, even though losing by hundreds of points against other teams, and then what did we win by, 10 goals last time? So, anyway, it's a long-winded way of saying, given our current form, given the injuries we have, and given West Coast might try, I reckon we might win by like 39 points in a kind of lackluster,
again,
not great performance. But it'll be a win, which will be good.
Well, the win last time against them by 55, however much it was, wasn't fun. But the benefit this time is that we won't have biased WA commentators who make it feel like we're losing.
true.
So that is going to be the only, I mean, I'll be going to the game, so you only, you know, I won't have to worry about that. But wouldn't it be just nice to go to the game and them to just pile on like 8 goals in the first quarter to 1, and for the rest of the game just be able to relax? Don't we deserve that?
Good, but I think that's fair, and I think we do deserve it. I'll tell you one thing we don't know yet is the umpires aren't named.
Well, they're not. Why's that?
The umpires not confirmed.
But we're the second game of the round.
Exactly.
Oh, strange.
This is the AFL website. So
how did you find the umpires last week?
AFL website.
No, how did you find the umpires during the game?
Sorry. very funny. How is the umpiring? we got some decisions early, but then there were some terrible decisions, like the holding the ball against BZT when he wasn't tackled.
I didn't see that one, but I read about it.
Yeah, there was a bunch of shockers. Okay. And they were critical too.
Oh, so, momentum swinging ones.
Okay. Yeah, we're great at getting free kicks in the full back line.
Yeah, we love those. It just feels like we don't get, aside from that Carlton game where we got some very, very lucky ones in the forward 50, tell you what, I don't think we've gotten another one since.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Been tough going.
Carlton have started winning too, annoyingly.
So, yeah, that's even worse. That's just the worst. If we're going shit and they've started going good, like they're looking at top four now, literally.
I reckon they go out straight sets. That's my, that's what I'm holding on
not,
to.
Not if they finish top four.
I could still go out in straight sets.
Oh, yes, they could. They
yeah,
could.
Lose they both finals.
They just get another pick out.
Another set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be all nice. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Let them suffer. All right. So that's... Oh, what was your prediction? It was... what did you say?
50.
All right, and I've gone 39. All right. Yeah. Now, in terms of Fiona's couch, I know it's, it might be against the Fiona's Pouch terms of reference, but can I ask a footy question?
I mean, if a footy question, is this your one? Are you asking?
No. It's a question that came through.
We haven't had a footy one since the inception. So.
Yeah, okay. And it's also because it's one that I've had a debate with a couple of people around as well. So
okay.
It's in part my question, I guess, also. Okay. I've got a firm view on it, though.
Okay.
So this person said, I can't handle another 10-goal loss in a final.
Oh,
firstly, okay. Amen to that. Do you think we should? Do you think it would be better to finish in the finals or not? Is basically the question.
Oh, okay. I know where you stand on this question because I think we've had the conversation before off the air, and I've a few other pod members who I've had the conversation with agree with you. I know. I disagree with you on it. I think the reason you people feel like the way you do is PTSD. There's no other reason.
You haven't stated for the people listening.
Yes, sorry. Position? I should say. Yeah. I firmly believe that we should make the benefit to making finals outweighs the negatives in this new era of the Essendon Football Club. So I think from here on in that Brad is driving the bus, I believe finals would only be beneficial, even if we went out on a 70-point loss. I think all the good stuff, really. They'll get – the young players will get introduced to a finals atmosphere. They'll play up against a plethora of stars. They'll feel the finals – jitters, they'll feel the finals environment, the atmosphere, that can only be beneficial.
Fucked on.
That can only be beneficial for a young group. It'll make them hungrier. I feel like Brad Scott will be really good at generating and culminating that energy and that fire and turning the disappointment and the anger after the loss into fire, into bringing it pre-season, bring the fire. That is where we need to go. I just feel like psychologically, Brad Scott, I believe in him to use the disappointment of the final loss and turn it into something positive. So I don't think it'd be a waste. I don't agree with people who say they prefer not to make finals to just go out. I sympathise with all of us and the PTSD, and I sympathise with the pain that it will be to lose again and go out in finals by 70
and then cop all
points.
The shit on social media and all, from your friends.
That's right, yeah.
How many days since last won a final, blah, blah,
I will
blah.
Say if you still have friends who beat on you badly and seriously when your team loses, you've got wrong friends, because I know me. I've got no friends or family who do it to me seriously, because they know I can't hack. I don't give it. That's why I don't give shit to other people's teams, because I can't hack it. So they know not to do it, or else you're out of my life. You're out.
Yeah. No, I don't. I invite it in some ways.
Do you?
Because I always slam them. I always win most arguments. but also, it's going to make it all that much better when we – the ship finally turns around.
I'm too sensitive. No, I can't take it. So I don't give it. So people know, like
okay.
my people know, they respect the Essendon.
You're a sensitive flower.
They, when in that prelim, when we lost to Carlton and I got a phone call from my auntie bawling my eyes out, since then, I had some real trauma from that. So since then.
Hang on. What did your auntie call you to bag you?
Yes, to laugh into the phone. Hawthorn supporter.
How old were you?
Oh, what was I? What year was that?
You're talking 99.
We lost the prelim. Yeah, that was.
And you were. And how old were you?
I was young. I don't know. Would I have been 7, 8? Yeah.
What sort of evil auntie is this?
No, that's what I mean.
A 7-year-old.
That's what I mean. So I'm traumatized. So now people know.
This is like a Brothers Grimm. Fairy tale.
I told you. Trauma. There's trauma there. So.
My God.
Yeah.
What an evil auntie.
Yeah. But anyway, so you disagree with me, don't you? I know that.
Well, look, you mount a very good argument that in the Brad Scott New World Order, that he, you know, he's doing everything for the long term and he's doing everything for a reason. And you're right, we would get a lot of experience from that. And yes, PTSD is real, no doubt about that. And Essendon PTSD is realer. But I also, yeah, I just think we cooked this year. We cooked. And I think we'll lose quite handsomely against GWS. And I think Collingwood will waltz all over the top of us too. So we'll be ready for the end of the year, and your players go and get their surgeries and, you know, start building for the following season. It's almost an irrelevancy in a way.
It is, but it's a good question to ponder. Definitely. Yeah. I just think that's a losing mindset to think, oh, let's not make finals. Like, I don't like that. Speaking of mindsets, Matthew Lloyd, if you're listening, you can go with that one, because that one is absolutely true. I think that's a losing mindset. Let's not make finals out of fear. Like, it's a bit feel the fear, but you've got to do it anyway. Sign a situation.
Yeah. That's a fair point. To be honest, I don't think it's going to be an issue we need to worry about.
What a different fucking attitude was there 5 weeks ago. It was only 5 weeks ago we were sitting fifth, and I was like, I'm not booking anything in September. I better book less cakes just in case. What if the final during the day and I've got cake deliveries? Like, fuck that. Like, that's what I was thinking.
Essendon's cost you twice.
Did I jump the gun there? Got a little bit too ahead of myself.
It's true. It is only 5 weeks ago. That Richmond game, the euphoria, and then Carlton.
The Adelaide game, even after the Adelaide game, I felt like, woof, we were up and up.
I did say it, I'm on record, and this is why I think those two losses we had were less than a goal. If Sam Draper's there, we win them. I went on record at the start of the year saying he's almost our most important player. And it was in part because of the dearth of ruck stocks behind him. And I think Phillips has done admirably since Draper's gone. Brian played a career-defining game, I believe, last week.
But this is the other thing that I feel like. So now Brian's got a block. What's he had, 4 games in a row? Anyway, he's going to get another 3 games playing, right? So now it's going to be a bit easier losing Phillips, because Draper and Brian are going to be able to go in tandem, and Brian's actually going to be better because he's got more confidence when Draper comes back. So that's actually going to be a lethal duo. The more Brian can, you know, so we didn't have this before. If Draper was playing, Brian's not getting those games. So Brian and Draper are not ever going to play. So it's
and these are the positives we need to take out of the rest of the season. It's things like this.
I know it is disappointing when you look at it, because we were teased. We kind of overperformed. We won that close game. We won a few more. And we teased ourselves a bit. Even the players probably thought, fuck, we're up here. We're going to play finals.
Yeah, yep.
You could hear the way Langford was
talking. Some of the talk coming.
They believed they could play it. But I think Brad Scott has always in his head said, no matter what happens this year, I reckon he started with a list. A long list. He said, no matter what happens, I'm going to try this structure, and this structure. No matter if we're winning or losing, I'm switching things up. And I reckon he's stuck to his guns, because next year, he doesn't want to waste time doing it next year. He wants to go with what
works. You might be right. You might be right on the game plan. I hate to react to stuff you see online.
Yeah.
But there is a crew out there that say same old Essendon. I think you mentioned it a few weeks ago. Those people, like, you really aren't watching if you think what we're seeing this year is the same as
it's irrational, isn't it? It's the most irrational argument.
Yeah.
And anybody, I just implore you to just get on to anybody you know saying that and just say, just wake up. I know you're scarred, and I know it's coming from trauma, and I know it's coming from a PTSD place, but you need to trust. Have faith in what you can't see and just know. In fact, you can see this. This is tangible. You can see. We can see it. Don't worry about this last handful of games. The young'uns, they're tired. They're limping. They're done.
Let me ask you this. Did you have a good auntie that comforted you?
She was a good auntie after that disaster. Okay. Well, but how good can family who barrack for Hawthorn be, really?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, there is, and the rivalry was strong. They remember the rivalry, you know, because
I must admit, I am lucky.
No offense.
Yeah, true. Good point. I am lucky that I could have a family reunion on my dad's side, and I could see, and my mum's English, so there's no worries there. But I could see on my dad's side, there'd be second cousins I've never met. They'd all be Eston.
Oh, lucky.
It's just one of those families. Like, they grew up in the area.
That's beautiful.
And, yeah.
Well, if I have my way, I'm stopping the Hawthorn blood. It stops with me.
Yes. Yes.
My sister's not interested in football, so my brother-in-law is Carlton, so I can't help my nieces. Sorry, girls. But if anything, if I have my say in it, it will be red and black until my line.
How old are your nieces?
6 and 3, 4.
You just got to take them out.
Nah, they're not interested. They're all about princesses. They don't even care about footy, unfortunately.
Yeah, they do. Anyway.
But so was I, as we know. Yeah. Sorry. I only came to footy on the confirmation year.
Take them out. Look, they can have all the chips they want. Yeah. They'll have a great day. And just so happens that Auntie Fiona's taking them to Essendon games.
Yeah. I have to get my paws on them. I need some support. I need some support.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note, just one bit of housekeeping. I might have made the mistake of saying, if you mention a song, I'll record it. So I've already got a backlog. So the amount of suggestions on songs of the week that I've had on Twitter. So I've recorded two this week. I've only sent awesome. One to the group chat.
It's very good. I enjoyed that one.
I did another one last night. I'll send it after this. But, I just, for those people who keep sending them, I may have to spill some over to next year because there's a long list coming.
Nah, that's what the off-season's for. You don't let the people down. What is this shit?
Okay. All right.
They're just the least little grabs.
Something about cake. Check it out. But I think we mentioned it when you're away. The love you got for your 60th birthday cake.
Yes.
By the way, did that guy have a Twitter account? Was his birthday surprise ruined?
No, it wasn't. I don't think. I haven't heard otherwise. No, but I posted it after the birthday for that.
Oh,
reason.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah. I've got into. I fucked up once in my career on that, and I got told off, so I've never done that again. I never post anything on the day of the occasion, always a week or a few days after.
Yes, okay, okay.
Learned my lesson. You live Lesson and learn, as they say.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. We'll check out something about cake, our sponsor. Enjoy the game. Hopefully we enjoy a win. We'll see you in the next Windy Hill Windsock podcast proper on Monday. And, see you then.
Thanks, guys.